Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you for joining us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my special guest, Father Dan Estes, who is the director of Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. How are you, Father Dan?
Fine, thank you.
I'd like to do something a little different today, and I'd like for you to start us with prayer, if you don't mind.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for your abundant gifts and blessings that you bestow upon us each day, especially the great mercy that you show to us through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we ask you to open our hearts and minds to enter more deeply into relationship with you, communion and oneness with you, so that we can come to know the great love and mercy you have for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for doing that. Today we're going to talk about the Retreat Center, Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I was born in Oklahoma and raised in Wyoming, so I'm a bit of a ranch kid, farm and ranch kid from Wyoming. I've been ordained now for 13 years, almost 14 years.
Wonderful.
And I've served in two different parishes, one in North Dakota on the Native American Reservation for 4 years. We had a little primary school there. I was the principal of that. And then I served in Belize, Central America for another 4.5 years as a pastor of one of our parishes down there. And then I've been here at Our Lady of Corpus Christi for almost 5 years now.
And I know you get this question a lot, so you've probably memorized this, but may I ask, since we do focus on vocations on the show quite a bit, may I ask why you're called to the priesthood? What signals was God sending you? How it all happened, in a nutshell.
For me, it was a bit of a inquietude, an unquietness, an unsettledness. I'd had people here and there say that I should be a priest, but I really wasn't thinking that the priesthood was what I wanted to do. I would rather have had a ranch and had a family and all of those things. And I'd went to university, got my degree in teaching and math education, then I got a master's in mathematics. And I started to teach, but I just was never quite at peace. And there was just always this unsettledness, and I finally decided, well, I need to go see if I'm supposed to be a priest, maybe. It was always kind of in the background, but never very, very prevalent in my thought. And then, so I was in relationship with my community, the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, with a priest of the society, and he suggested to me to try the novitiate to just see if I thought I was called. And after having gone to that, I was pretty well convicted of it, just to see the life, and there was just a peace that I really hadn't had. It was interesting because we were challenged in the beginning that if we didn't know we were called to the priesthood, we needed to speak to our novice master and maybe be pulled out. And I went in and I said, look, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a priest or not. And he said to me, well, what makes you think you're not? And I couldn't give him an answer.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't give
Good
him
question.
One thing. And I continued to pursue. And then just as I went on through seminary, that the desire really grew, and I became much and more and more convicted of that calling to the priesthood. And when I was ordained, and ever since I've been ordained, it's been confirmed. It really has.
Wonderful. Now, thank you for sharing your story. Bishop Mulvey, in one of our recent confirmations, mentioned that before you can choose a vocation, you really have to consider all vocations. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned having a family on a ranch.
Yeah.
And so for a young man, before they could consider being married, they also need to consider becoming a priest.
Yes.
And before they can consider becoming a priest, they need to consider being mm-hmm. married and just how they can serve God in those two roles.
Well, and that's really true. I mean, it's very helpful to understand what your options are. And a lot of people make the decision without really considering all the options. It's seldom these days that one chooses the priesthood without considering marriage, but a lot choose marriage without considering
the priesthood
at all. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing for females, looking at consecrated life and married life as well. And so I hadn't heard it put in such a fashion, but it's so true to mm-hmm. consider the options and what type of vocation God is calling us to. Now, we are going to talk about a retreat center. So did you have any retreats or spiritual encounters that convicted you even further?
Yes, I remember specifically the first retreat I went on. I didn't know what retreats were. I was already through junior college, and I was invited to go on a retreat with the Newman Center. And I didn't even really go to the Newman Center that much. These friends of mine knew me well, and they thought I should go on it, and I was balking. I was not going to go, and finally they said, no, we need you to drive someone up there. So after having driven them up there, I stayed. And it was just, there wasn't any real hallelujah moments per se, but it was just, it was something that I loved. I just knew right then and there to be able to pull away like that and spend time with God. It was just an incredible experience. And I went for the next 3 or 4 years while they had them there. And I can see now that that had a real role to play, because from that came some of the relationships by which I became a priest. The priest with our community and another priest friend of mine who's helped me in spiritual direction from time to time throughout the years. And that would never have happened if I hadn't have gone on those retreats. And then it slacked off a bit because I was just in the world. And I see that with people who go on retreats, they go once. It's an incredible experience, and then they don't go again. Mm-hmm. And so it was a number of years before I went to another retreat. It was actually when I was in the novitiate. And we had a couple of them that year, and then there was an annual retreat. And I began to see the importance then of that annual retreat, of a time to stop and reassess your life, look at where you are now, and where are you headed.
So then what would give me a sort of definition or an overview of what a retreat is for our listeners?
A retreat is a set time of a day to 3 days to a week, ever how long a person has, where they take time out. And they go, and it can be directed, or they can direct themselves. It's better if it is directed, especially in the beginnings, where you're given a series of different topics to reflect upon and pray about, to be silent, to listen to God, to hear Him speak to you, and to really look at your life. It's a good time to do an examination of conscience and say, okay, where have I failed God, and what have I done good for God in this past year or past time frame? And then with some direction from a priest or whoever is the spiritual director for the retreat, you have time to really present that to them, and they can tell you where you're going right, where you're going wrong, to say, are you being absolutely honest with that? Maybe if we're not being honest and open, and it's a time of quiet and prayer and reflection.
Building your relationship with
God.
Mm-hmm. So then these are great questions. I'm getting excited here. What is a spiritual director? What do they offer?
A spiritual director is one who helps us to look at our life in relationship to God. We might have people who direct us in other areas of our life, who guide us and direct us. Well, a spiritual director is one who we bring questions to. It might be in areas of discernment of our what our vocation in life is. I think you ought to have a spiritual director when you're looking at that. And you can come in and you say, look, these are what my desires are. This is what gives me peace. This is what disturbs my soul, what gives me anxiety. And they can help us to clarify, because oftentimes we follow the path that we like to follow, that we think is going to make us happy.
Of least resistance.
And yet we're not happy and we don't know why. And the spiritual director is outside of our subjective emotions and situation at the moment, and they can look at it more objectively and say, look, you're not happy with this. Maybe the Lord's asking you to give something up, or maybe He's asking you to do this, to take this step. And so the spiritual director helps us in that area of our spiritual life so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with God, because we don't always know the path and the right steps to take to improve that relationship with God.
Wonderful. While you were speaking, it reminded me of an independent retreat, a silent retreat that I took. It was only for a day, but there was this room, and this sister, I forget her name, but she kind of put me in this room, and I remember looking back and saying, okay, what do I do? Yeah. And she didn't tell me anything. Yeah. And so I really had a chance to uncover what the room had to offer. So, for example, there were some CDs on meditation. Mm-hmm. There was an art area, and I really utilized that area to just express myself artistically. There was just a variety of things to do. And I even took a nap. I mean,
yeah, that's a part
the spirit
of retreat.
Was telling me that I was tired. And so I even took a nap. But that was the first time. And then the second time that I went, I didn't ask her, well, what am I to do? I really knew that it was a time for me to be quiet mm-hmm. and to just listen to what God had to say. And I might not hear anything in that moment, but I was able to really reflect on where my life was. And retreats are something that everyone should go to. Would you agree?
I agree. We don't have time to in our world today. We're running one event after another event, to this exercise, to this activity, all the time. We've got noise in our lives 24/7. There's no time to really be silent. People are afraid of silence, and they shouldn't be. We have a lot of people who come on retreats, and they're afraid that they won't be able to be quiet and they won't be able to listen. But once they get here, and they begin that time of silence, they're like, I don't want to leave. Because you can't hear the voice of God with all the noise around us.
Stick with us. Labors of Love is going to take a quick break.
This is Labors of Love.
The second Sunday of Easter is known as Divine Mercy Sunday. This year, that date is April 27th. Thursday, April 24th, through Divine Mercy Sunday, the 27th, Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome, is offering you the opportunity to gain a deeper understanding of the mercy of God, a God who loves us and wants us to recognize that His mercy is greater than our sins, so that we will call upon Him with trust, receive His mercy, and let it flow through us to others. To register for this Divine Mercy retreat, visit deepprayer.org or call the Retreat Center at 361-289-9095. Let His mercy show through you. Visit deepprayer.org.
Thank you again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Father Dan Estes, who is the director of Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. And we've been talking about the busyness of life and how our culture really doesn't give us time to make time for God in particular. Mm-hmm. As a mother with two young kids, going to school, working with the diocese, you know, when do I have time for myself and my relationship with God? And we hear that quite often. So how would you suggest people make some time for God?
The first thing is to realize that there are a lot of things that we think we have to do in life that we don't have to do. And one of the things that we have to do, that we must do, is work on a relationship with God. And so the first thing is, I think everybody needs to set aside a time, a specific time of day, if it's 15 minutes or 30 minutes, when they can be quiet and nobody can disturb them. They're not going to answer the phone. They're not going to even go to the door. It's quiet time to just sit and pray. And the other that I really recommend is that people do find a way to make some sort of a retreat annually, where it's a little longer than a day. Days of prayer are good, and we do some of those from time to time in different parishes around the diocese. But to take time and really maybe set aside 3 days, or if you can, to set aside a week. We go on vacation, but we won't set a vacation to just spend with God. We had a couple once that did that for their vacation. Instead of going on vacation, they went on retreat.
That's a good point.
And they took that time and said, you know, we're going to dedicate this to our relationship with God. And then the hope from that is they can set a plan of life where every day they're giving time to Him.
Sometimes I think about those little moments where I can build my relationship with God, and even just praying while I'm washing the dishes or sweeping. Yeah. Even though I don't like all those activities, I at least like the time where I can speak with God and, mm-hmm. and pray in Our Father, Hail Mary, something very quick.
Yep.
Say, I love you, Lord, and even those few words is a prayer to Him. Mm-hmm. And just being in constant conversation with God is something I think we should all try to do. Now, going back to Our Lady of Corpus Christi, it is a retreat center. There is mm-hmm. a retreat center on site, and you offer two different types of retreats. Can you give me some more information about those?
The two different types of retreats are some of the parish-based retreats like the Acts, the Journey to Damascus. There's a Protestant group that does the Walk to Emmaus as well out here. And there are groups that come in, and they've got a format that they follow. They rent the place, and they come in, and it's a three-day retreat beginning on Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and half the day on Sunday. And there's a number of different parishes in the diocese that have taken advantage of that. We also rent it to local schools that want a few day retreats and any group that really wants to take time out to have a place where they can grow in their relationship with God. The other type of retreat we give are those that we actually do ourselves. And they're three-day silent retreats based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And again, they begin on a Thursday night. They run all day Friday, all day Saturday, until about noon on Sunday. And we use different meditations for people to help them to begin to open themselves up to prayer. So we'll give little 20-minute to 30-minute talks, usually about four of them a day. And then we give them time. They'll usually have an hour and a half to 2 hours to go off, spend time in the Adoration Chapel or the little chapel we have in the dormitory, or just to walk the grounds, the meditation garden, to stop, reflect on what we've given them to pray about. We usually give them some questions, too, to kind of help trigger the thought process. And they stop and pray. And they have the opportunity then during that weekend to speak with a priest or a spiritual director for 30 minutes, an hour. If they need to, they can speak more than once, whatever they need. They have a priest or spiritual director. Deacon Bob Allen works with us as well, and other members of my community. And they have time to just stop and pray and then speak to someone about what's going on in their spiritual life. Is this really God speaking to me, or is it my desires? And to help them to discern what God's doing with them. And we do the Ignatian retreats. We do one a month right now, one for women, and then one for men, and we rotate them each month. And okay. We just started a new retreat based on the Divine Mercy. We do a couple of those a year.
Okay.
Just to introduce people to what the mercy of God is like. And it's a really beautiful, it's a beautiful retreat for people to begin to see that God wants to be merciful with us. We have an idea that He wants to be just, but we forget that God is passionately in love with us and wants to be merciful to us.
Yeah, those good old catechism classes when I was younger where there was floods and there was punishment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now God is just, but He's also merciful.
Yes.
So. I have two questions for you. One is, can you tell us a little bit about St. Ignatius? That way people can know if this mm-hmm. is for them. And two, is it difficult to go on a silent retreat?
Okay. St. Ignatius was the founder of the Jesuits, and we now have the first Jesuit as our Holy Father, Pope Francis. And he was a soldier who was wounded, and he, during his rehabilitation, he was looking for things to read. And he was reading everything under the sun, and he would get excited about them. But then he started reading spiritual books, and he noticed that when he'd read those spiritual books, not only did he get excited in the moment, but it lingered, the peace and the joy. And so he began to say, well, something's different about this. And so that's where his conversion began, and he began to study then the faith more and more and more until he finally came into the fullness of the faith. And then he felt this call to go out and begin the Jesuit community. And the exercises are a series of different meditations. There's about 170 or 180 in total that are set up to go for 30 days. And so what a person would do was go off for 30 days with a spiritual director, meet with him once a day, and the spiritual director would give them some meditations, and they would go off and pray about those and come back and discern where they were headed. Well, we found that most people don't have 30 days.
That's right.
So we do give 8-day retreats, but most people don't have 8 days.
Okay.
So what we've done is we've boiled those 30 days down into 3 days. And there's a flow to the retreat where one begins with creation, seeing what God has done, looking at sin, what happened and where we are, and then goes through the life of Christ to see what brought about our redemption, the passion, death, and Christ, and resurrection of Christ, and then goes on to see the goodness of God in all things. And so it's a beautiful retreat that one can go on time and time again, because we never cover all of the exercises. There's always more to begin to enter into and to understand and to appreciate. And we change in our relationship every year. Our relationship with God changes.
Hopefully it grows.
It should grow. And by doing one of these retreats annually, you begin to see whether it is growing or not. Mm-hmm. And you can assess that, and you can continue to grow in your relationship. But it has, every one of them has that same flow, with beginning with creation, going through the fall of man, and then the restoration of man in the resurrection of Jesus Christ ultimately in the end. And the most difficult thing about an Ignatian retreat is getting through the door. Once you get through the door, it's easy enough. People think, I can't be silent. What am I going to do? Am I going to pray all that time? I can't pray that long.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fears that people have. Don't worry. As you said, I've slept through the first mm-hmm. day of my five-day retreat at times
yeah.
because you're tired. So some people come and they sleep
you
for a long time.
You just need to restore your body and mind, and then you can
you
really
do.
Engage.
And then when they're alert and they're awake, we mm-hmm. send them off, and they sit and they speak to God and they listen. And that's the hard part.
So
about
in
prayer.
That sense, it's not silent, because you're conversing with
exactly.
the ultimate being, your God,
exactly.
our God.
You're just not conversing with everybody around
you. Yeah, and getting all that noise. So then what is the feedback from people? Do they find it difficult, or at the end of the 3 days, they really appreciate silence more?
At the end of the 3 days, almost to a T, every one of them is like, I don't want to go back. I want to stay here. And they're all ready to keep coming back on retreats. The feedback has been excellent. People really find that it's really impacted them in a powerful way, and they see that now they need to work on their relationship personally with Christ. One of the things I find is many of the retreats, we give them everything. We feed them, and they come out with a fire and a zeal and everything else, but they're not able to sustain it on their own. They need something to keep fostering their growth.
And so the spiritual director might help with that as well.
The spiritual director helps with that. But the, mm-hmm. the goal of the exercises is for us to help people so that they don't need that anymore.
Okay.
So that they're able to feed themselves, if you will. As they say, we're teaching them to fish instead of giving them a fish. Because now they begin to say, oh, I can have this relationship with God. This isn't dependent on the retreat master.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving us some talks, but it doesn't matter who it is. What matters is that I'm stopping and I'm communicating with God. And so they can begin to form a plan of life for themselves where even when they go out there, they're still working on that relationship all the time, communicating with God. And that levels our life out. We don't have as many of the ups and downs now because we're working on that all the time, and there's not a need to run after somebody to say, I need to get the fire burning again, because we're stoking it all the time.
Wonderful. Now, if someone is interested in attending one of these retreats, where would you send them?
We have our website is www.deepprayer.org, or they can call Our Lady of Corpus Christi at 361-289-9095.
Thank you so much, Father, for being with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Nearly every day we hear of the tragic death of some individual, sometimes a well-known person who died unexpectedly of an accidental overdose or a car wreck. It could be a victim of domestic violence or child abuse, or of an armed robbery or assault. It might even be an individual who either didn't receive medical treatment or just not promptly enough. Whatever the situation and cause, we usually stop for a moment and ponder the news. Usually, we make some type of a judgment about the people involved, and then move on to the next news item, dismissing it as something that is out there, external to ourselves. On some rare occasion, we internalize the news and consider the possibility that one day it might be about our own death. In the midst of our daily lives, we make decisions that impact us and the lives of those around us, especially our own family. We get in a hurry and drive faster than we should, or take shortcuts and work practices that could endanger us. Even a simple choice such as where and what we eat for lunch impacts our life. If our diet is not balanced and we regularly eat fried, fatty foods, we gain weight and cause damage to our entire body. The end result could be heart disease, or worse. Unfortunately, we seldom ever stop and consider the consequences that our judgments and decisions may have on us and others. Consequently, our behavior often affects us in negative ways, and as we begin to encounter the consequences of our choices, we start playing the blame game. We blame God for our problems and ask Him why life has to be hard. We blame Him for our poor health, for our lack of wealth, and for family that just doesn't meet our expectations. We then blame our family and friends for scheduling activities that are not convenient to us, or for inviting us to something we really don't want to go to that causes us to either go or come up with a good excuse not to. We look at everyone else's faults but fail to look in the mirror at ourselves, the one person who has control over our actions. Jesus poses this question to all who would follow Him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I command you? He continues, if you make my word your home, you will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. He tells us this because He came that we might have life and have it to the fullest measure, a measure that does not restrict or cause pain, but frees us to know His joy and peace. Encountering Jesus and His living word converts our hearts from hearts of stone to hearts of love. The end result is that we see ourselves and others in a different light, allowing us to live unencumbered by sin and the blame game. Instead of making excuses for why you don't want to do something, why not make excuses for doing it? Who knows, you might find yourself liking the people around you just a little bit more if you look for the positive rather than the negative. You might even begin to like yourself a little more. You can excuse yourself away from living, or you can free your life from excuses. May God grant you sacred moments in the times of pain and blaming, and may the light of His word penetrate the depths of your heart and renew it with love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Father Dan Estes, who is the director of Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. If you would like more information about the Retreat Center, please call 361-289-9095 extension 321 or visit them at deepprayer.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.